Parshas Kisaitse is an important parsha. When the Balkorin lanes, we have to have in mind to be yotze two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah, the Rabbana, to read the Parshas HaShavua, and the other is to fulfill the mitzvah of Parshas Zohar. Morgan Abram points out that if a person missed Parshas Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, he can fulfill the chiyuv by listening to Parshas Zohar and Parshas Kisaitse. The Magen Avraham, that's in Hilchas Purim, he writes like that. Magen Avraham in Hilchas Abba Rabba poses a question. There are Sheish Zechiris printed in the Siddur, after Shachris. And one of the Zechiris is Zechiris Chet Miriam, that's in today's Siddur also. So he asks the question, how come we make such a big fuss on Parsha Zohar? We have special Haftarah, special Kriya. And the Gabbai makes an announcement. Everybody should have mind to be Yotze with the Brachas, to be Yotze with the Kriya. Why don't we make such an announcement? Why don't we have such a Parshas Chet Miriam? Make an announcement also. So he says it's a Gnai for the Tzadikas to make such a big fuss about it. But you really have to. Some Rishonim hold that this is one of the mitzvahs and the Taryag mitzvahs. Zachar Shirash Hashem Kachal Miriam. So we should really have in mind when the Balkori lanes Parshas Kisaitse, we should have in mind to be Yotze the mitzvah of Zechiras Chet Miriam. What exactly is the essence of the mitzvah to remember that the Tzadikas did an Avera? What's the significance? So the Chofetz Chaim has a lot of little svarms, and one of the little svarms is called Zochel Miriam. He quotes from the Sifrei, what the Olam Mefarshim quote, we should remember that Miriam was punished for saying Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu, even though she didn't mean any harm and she didn't cause any harm to him, but still there's an Issa Lashon Hara, even against members of the family. The Lashon, people think you're allowed to talk Lashon Hara about your spouse, you're allowed to talk Lashon Hara about your brothers, about your children. So the Torah says how chomer it was, and she was punished with tzaras. That's why the one is next to the other. Yishamad menegat tzaras lishma miyod v'lasas, then Zohar as a shirasa Hashem alakech l'miriam b'derech b'tzeis k'mirin tzami. So remember the sin of Miriam, that she was punished with tzaras, with talking Lashon Hara. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it must be something more than that, that it should be one of the shesh theories. You thought Lashon Hara is a serious avera, but it's not one of the ikari ha'amunah. So why should this be one of the shesh theories? It's such an important thing. So he would I think he said over perhaps the name of Rav Kook. Rav Kook has it in his Siddur, in the Oilas Riyah Siddur, at the end of Shachris by the Sheish Chiris. He thinks that Zechiras Chet Miriam means we should remember the Iker and Emunah, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNavim. The Rambam has his two different, the Rambam has 13 Ikari HaMunah, so one is that we believe in Nevuah, and number two, that we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNavim. So that's what Miriam, in Parshat Balos, Miriam made a mistake. She thought, who does my brother think he is? I'm a Neviah, and I wasn't Purish from my husband. So why did he have to be Purish Mishta? Who does he think he is? Does he think he's greater? Is he greater Navi than everybody else? And then the Torah says, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble, he didn't let anybody know, even his own sister, the rest of the people didn't realize he was the Adon HaNavim. So that was the Iker and Emunah that was brought out in Parshat Vayelech in connection with Chet Miriam. So maybe that's what it means. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole essay about this. This is part of the hesped that he delivered when Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, when his uncle passed away. So he spoke about this. Loi kein abdi Moshe. That was the refrain. And that hesped he kept on saying about the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean to say Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNavim? Means that Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+. And Yeshaya gets an A, and Yirmiyah gets an A-, and Yecheskel gets a B. What does it mean? Adon HaNavim. So he explained what that means. It's a very important discussion. So this Shabbos we have, it's a double kiyum. It's the Parshas HaShavua, fine. And it's also Parshas Zohar, for whoever missed the Parshas Zohar before Shabbos before Purim. That's a special Takanas Chachamim, to hear Parshas Zohar before Purim. But you can be Yotze the mitzvah deraisa by listening on Parshas Kisaitse. And then also Parsha Zechiras Chet Miriam, which the Magen Avraham talks about in Hilchas Abba Rabba, that too is a Chiyuv Minatar. Tolein could even be the Sefer Achinach, right? Tolein Parsha Zohar once a year, every year, could really be a Din Deraisa. Because the Shir Shikcha is usually Yud Beis Chodesh, so you have to remind yourself at the end of the year again about Amalek. So it could be a Parshas Chet Miriam also, once a year, every year. It could be that it's a Din Deraisa. In the beginning of the parsha, it starts off with the institution of Yifas Toyar. Yifas Toyar is a big chiddush that the girl basically doesn't want to convert. So it's in a certain sense, it's a geris bal korcha. And still, the Torah allows it over here. The Torah says you can marry her. So the Gemara has a discussion in the first parak in Kedushin in the sugya of Yifas Toyar. Machlok is between Rabbi Shmuel, what's a din if you have a kohen as a soldier in the army, he falls in love with this Yifas Toyar. A kohen has a double problem. A Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Nachris. Kohen is not even allowed to marry a Geiris. So when the Torah allowed the Yifas Toyar, is it only a heter for a non-kohen, or is it even a heter for a kohen? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. But Derech Agav, you see that they drafted Kohanim in the army. A suggestion was made. The Rambam writes the whole Shevet Levi is not drafted in the army. That's the famous Rambam that all the Rosh Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael quote. The Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shemitah of Yovel, he says, Lo Shevet Levi Bolvad, not only Shevet Levi is not drafted. Anyone who volunteers to sit and learn all day in the Yeshiva, Kolelnik is an honorary member of Shevet Levi. You don't draft anybody into the army. So that's the Rambam says like that. Rashi says not so. Rashi Amnochem Smidyon says they took Elef Lamata, Shtei Moser, Elef Chalutzei Tzavo. So Rashi says, Yikrolahem Lachol Matos Yisrael, Rashi says the Rabbi Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was also drafted 1,000 Levim in the army. How do you have 1,200? Should have been 1,300? The answer is Menashe Ephraim, who counted as one Shevet. And the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds Menashe Ephraim counted as two Shvatim, and Shevet Levi was not drafted into the army. So, but the Kohanim, there's an additional issue. During the First World War, the Kohanim in England said to the government, you can't draft us into the army. The soldiers shoot to kill, they're going to be dead bodies all over. So Kohen is not allowed to be Metame L'Mesim. So the government asked the chief rabbi, what's Taka the Din? Are you allowed to draft Kohanim or not? So the chief rabbi consulted the Bezin, and they paskin based on the Mordechai. The Mordechai in Gittin quotes this Gemara in Kiddushin, that Kohen ma'al b'yifas toyer. So you see Kohanim are drafted into the army. Pardon me? The Rambam says that you don't read David Levi as one. Only Mechemes Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Mechemes Rishus, you do draft the Levi.
No, the other way around. Mechemes Rishus, they aren't drafted.
Uh-huh. I don't know about that, because by Mechemes Midyan, I think this Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam is Machlokes Satanoim in the Sifrei. It's two ways how to read the Pesukim. That was a Mechemes Mitzvah.
That was Sichon Ra'ai. Sichon Ra'ai was Meritah.
Could be, okay. Could be, fine. Could be there's no machlekes, okay. Very good. In the Sefer Binyan Shlomer, Rav Shlomer LaVilna had a chiddush, which he deleted because he writes that his brother told him that it's all wrong. He had a chiddush that you don't draft Kohanim into the army, because they're going to be dead bodies, not allowed to be in the Tamil Mesim, and since you don't draft them in the army, they're not Mechliv in Parsha Zohar, because just like the Chinuch writes that women are not Mechliv in Parsha Zohar, only one who is drafted into the army is Mechliv in Parsha Zohar, that he should remember, you have to go fight the war. So just like women are not Mechliv, so too Kohanim are not Mechliv. Since the Kohen is not Mechliv, so if the Kohen is the Balkar, so he can't be Moitzi the others, because Meishanim Mechliv B'dobre, and Moitzi Asarab Medechagos. So he writes in the Mafteach to the Sefer, in the table of contents, he writes in one sentence, that's what he wrote in that chapter, and his brother told him to delete it because it's all wrong. So he doesn't explain why it's wrong. Just says that a Kohen may be the Balkari. Okay.
Maybe it's very similar to the Salim Rosh, that women are, that Kohanim are Torahim from Musaf, because I live in younger than 20, I'm Torahim from Musaf, because you couldn't do the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. That's why.
The what?
The Samir Rosh that Rebbe quoted last year, that the Levim are under 20 are Pitorium from Davening Musaf because they couldn't, or, I think.
People under 20, yeah.
People under 20. So maybe that was the reason why, because it's too similar to the Samir Rosh.
Okay. good reasons why it's wrong. Good. Okay.
From what, I'm not sure if it's right, but I understood that Muhammad Bidyan is the one in Parshat that Hashem said you have to attack Midian. Suppose the Sikh of Oak was similar to what Hashem also said, which is And David, Hashem didn't say to that. So that's Mechamis Moshe.
Yeah, Mechamis Midyan was a Mechamis Mitzvah. It'll be Pashtus, but it's a different kind of a Mitzvah. Okay.
It's probably like World War One, like for the Jewish people who probably didn't want to fight, so that considered Mechamis Mitzvah.
Okay, correct, yeah. Yeah.
Hard to tell me, Shana, doesn't the first Mia mutter while she's still
Benochu Yusuf, yeah. Right.
So that's a Kiddush, not the Gerus is involved. The Mars is, it's a Kiddush that the plus over.
The Biashnia is a Birishan is Mutta, Menachu Yusa, the Birishnia is Mutta with the Geris Balkarcha. Birishan is Mutta, the Geris Balkarcha, the Birishnia needs a Geris Midaita. The Gemara draws a distinction between Bir and Nishan and Birishnia. That's a Sugya and Kiddush.
Yeah, I mean, quick question. How did the chief rabbi allow that? Because weren't there a lot of people on the other side in like Germany and stuff who were Jewish? So wouldn't they be maybe killing Jews when they fight? So
good question.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. That's what happened, though. They allowed it, yeah. It's a good question. It's a good consideration. Then the Torah has the famous Parsha Ben Sorera Moreh. The Gemara has one Tana of the opinion that the conditions that are necessary for Ben Sorera Moreh are so far-fetched. The parents have to have the same height and the same facial features and the same sound voice. It's so far-fetched. So one Tana of the opinion, the Hoiva the Asid Lias. Never was and never will be. Another Tana says the same is true regarding Irani Dachas. One Tana says the same is true regarding Bais HaMenugo. So there are one or two or three mitzvahs that possibly never were and never will be. And nonetheless, they were written Drosh V'Kabal Schach. So you have to understand, what does that mean, Drosh V'Kabal Schach? So we spoke about that last Shabbos, those who were here. Then Gemara points out that Ben Sorer and Moreh is one of the four Arbot Tzvichim HaChroza. There are four Harugi Bezin, the four Mrs. Bezin, where the Bezin has to advertise in advance. They don't just make a Gemara Din, give them the death penalty. They send out letters all over. Sometimes they wait till Yontif, till Regal, everyone's early Regal, to Yerushalayim. They try to publicize as much as possible that this person is being killed because of this and this aver. Because the pasuk, these four say, Chol Yisrael Yishmu V'Yiro. Two of them were in last week's Sedra. The Mesis and the Zokin Mamre and the Adam Zaymimim are the other three. So these are the four who need achroza. And the Gemara explains that basically the death penalty is given to them to serve as a deterrent that other people shouldn't do this avera. That the avera that they did per se, the Ben Sorer Moreh now is Yom HaZaka Bal Yom HaSchayiv. He really didn't do, he violated Kibbut Aviyim. Okay, stole from his parents and he took the money and he bought real strong alcoholic beverage and eating roast beef and so on with a bunch of gangsters. But the avera that he did right now is not really a sufficient cause to give him the death penalty. It's really al shem sofo. So it's really to serve as a deterrent. So that's why there's a special thing. Chol Yisrael Yishmu V'Yiro. There is a possibility that the four don't need hasra. You can look in the Rishonim. It could be that they have that in common. All four don't need hasra. But that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Parsha continues with the mitzvah of kavura. The original pasuk in Chumash only speaks about kavura by harugi bezin, chav tik berena bayom ahu. And then the Gemara says, but not only does it apply to harugi bezin, the mitzvah of kavura deraisa applies even to all mesim. A person dies a natural death at home or in the hospital, also a mitzvah of kavura. The Gemara knows it not from the kefa loshen chav tik berena. Whenever you have lashonis kvulim, so you darshan that it's marbe an additional case. So that's the way we assume, that it's a real din deraisa. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, quotes a lecha mishnah on the Rambam, that it seems in the Gemara it's a machlokes hatanoim, but that this is only an asmachta, a real drasha gemura. So we assume that it's a real drasha gemura, that kvura b'shar meisim is a din deraisa, and has to be kvura b'karka. You're not yotzi if you just put in a vault. It has to be dafka kvura b'karka. Mitzvah of kvura only applies to Yisraelim. To a nochri, there is no mitzvah of kvura. Bnei Yisrael are bonim lamokim. Kikilas alakim toloi means we're bonim lamokim. By the Nochrim there is no mitzvah kvura, but nonetheless the Ramban points out that the Pasuk says in Sefer Yoshua when they killed the Lamed Aleph Malochim, they hung them up. So it says, and they took them down, they buried them the same day. The full, what it says in Torah Moshe, that you have a kovetik bereinu by Yamahu. Either Laban Aleph Malachim with Nochrim, and the Yerushalmi says the Yerudea quotes Beferish, there's no mitzvah skvura by Nochrim. We don't have to fight if the Nochrim wanna burn the bodies, Nochrim bodies, or the Nochrim wanna bury in a vault. So we're not mechuyev to make a tumul about that. It's for kvura is on Mesa Yisrael only. So Akam it says in Sefer Yeshua that they bury them. So the Ramban has a chiddush that the pasuk says v'losu tamis ad moscha shesh amalkech nosim l'chon nachalo, that in Eretz Yisrael you have to bury Mesa Yakam also. Chutz Lords, you're not mechuyev to bury Mesa Yakam. But in Eretz Yisrael there's a din v'losu tamis ad moscha. The Ramban assumes that is the rice. He quotes the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that they buried the Laman Aleph Malachim, and it says to fulfill what it says in Torah's Moshe, that they had to bury on the same day. So that's where Rabbi Chalap's father was a big Tam Chacham, passed away a long time ago. So he writes in one of his Divrei Torah, he writes, a problem, how can you have a medical school in Eretz Yisrael? They have cadavers there. So aren't they in violation of this din of Elisa Tamis Ad Moshe? He's supposed to bury even Mesei Yakam on the same day. That now in medical schools, years ago, medical schools in Eretz Yisrael, they used to work on Mesei Yakam. They had enough Arab dead bodies to work on. And the Knesset made a law that you're not allowed to use Arab bodies. So in the medical schools where they use dead bodies, they only use Jewish bodies, which is Keneged Adin. You're not allowed to do research on a Jewish body. So now some of the hospitals, some of the medical schools are, even in America, some of them are cutting out all the cadavers, and they're just learning by internet. Virtual dead bodies. Okay, they're not going to be as good a doctor, but they'll avoid the issue of losa tamei es
an moscha. And aren't Nochrim also b'tzalim alakim? Like what's the svar that it should be?
Nochrim ha b'tzalim alakim, posh b'shat, yeah. There's a machlokes harishonim when it says in the Mishnah, Chavivadim shenivri b'tzalim, does it go to all of mankind, or does it go to Odom Arishon only? The Kuzari sounds like he understands Chavivadim means Odom Arishon was nivri b'tzalim alakim, and he transmitted the Inyan Hu Aliki, the Tzalim Alakim, only to one of his sons, and that son transmitted only to one son. Odom Shei Senesh Kena Mahalalo Yered Chanoich, and so on, as it starts off in Divrei Yomim. They went to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and then Mitosu Shleima, all of the Jewish people have Tzalim Alakim. So the Sefer, the Kuzari seems to assume that only Odom Arishon has Tzalim Alakim. But it's usually assumed, most in the Mepharshim and Pirkei Avos assume Chaviv Odom Shenevi B'Tzalim doesn't refer to Odom Arishon, it refers to all human beings of B'Tzalim Alakim. But we have a higher mile, we are Bonim Lamoch. So it says, Kikilas Alakim Toloi, that only goes on Yisraelim, who are more so, they're mamish, they have the same DNA as the Rebbeinu Shalom. We're Bonim Lamochim. Like a father, parents transmit the DNA to their children. So the Rebbeinu Shalom transmitted a DNA to the Jewish people. So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that the mitzvah kvura is only on Mesi Yisrael. Mesi Yakam, there's no mitzvah kvura. Then you have the din, you have some of the dinim in the parsha, you have the din of Ashavas Aveidah. Then the simple reading in the pasuk is, L'sirich amur, l'sirich sharachicho asay nidoch v'yisalam temehem, and it goes, loy sisalem, lo sucha l'yisalem, you should not. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, the Hisalam Tamam. That's clearly not Lefi Pshutu Shal Mikra. Pshutu Shal Mikra is certainly Yemes, but the Drosha of the Torah Shema Alpeh is also Yemes. The Salam Tamam means Pamishatom Misalam. Sometimes you don't have to get involved in the Hashavas Aveda. When is that? So the Gemara says, if you're a Kayin and the Aveda is Bebeis HaKvar. So the Gemara says, for that you don't need a Pasuk. That's a double poshut that you're not mechuyev because Ese is not docha lo sesi in such a situation. The Gemara gives different reasons. Why? The Gemara says the pasuk really goes on a zok beina lefi oida. That's what it goes on. That mishum kaber abiyas he potter from fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveid. Yeah, what does it mean zok beina lefi oida? So it means if it would have been his own Aveid that he wouldn't have picked it up. It would have been his own Aveid. Like his wife lost her underwear. And he has no pocket, so he's going to walk with a woman's underwear. So if it would be in his own aveda, he would be embarrassed. He would leave it there. So he's not mechuyev kol she b'shalo eino machze b'shal chaveres eino meishim. I'm not mechuyev to do for others more than I would do for myself. I wouldn't do it if it would be my aveda. Mechuyev to take care of someone else's needs as if it would have been my own needs. But if it would have been my need, I'm not, I wouldn't do it. So if it's someone else, I wouldn't do either. So that's the Yisayid Adin over here. So that's what the Gemara says. Usually Kavar Abiyas, the whole sugya of Kavar Abiyas and Brochas and Afchov, so usually Kavar Abiyas is not Doich Adinim Deraisa, only Doich Adinim Derabana. Rare that it should be Doich Adinim Deraisa. But in Mamainen, Benar Machaveras, it is Doich, because the whole Yisayid of all the mitzvahs, Benar Machaveras, is you have to the Racha Kamacha to take care of other people's needs as if they would have been my own need. But if it would have been my need, I wouldn't have taken care. So that's this Kavar Abiyas. Then there's another din of Kavar Abiyas, Lo Yitama. That's the beginning of Parshas Emor. Kohanim are not allowed to be metame lemeisim unless it's one of the zayin kroivim. So it says if the Kohen's sister died, achus apsul shaloi salish lo yitama. There's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We pass like Rabbi Kiva lo yitama is a choiva, not a rishus choiva. So that choiva is the mitzvah of kavod abrius. That's how we pass. So then there is a mitzvah of kavod abrius. There clearly is a mitzvah to show kavod abrius. Last night, people were talking about Rabbi Yankelevich and all his type, the Bali Musa. When they would do Amidas Chassidus and Miranam Lamakim, they would do it Bitzina. People wouldn't know what they're doing. They would do something Miranam Lachavero, that's not Amidas Chassidus, that you mukhiv to do. That you mukhiv to do. So that, he would always say that Lashon. When a Bacher would do something good, he would say, you are taps. That was the way he spoke. You are tops. You are gewaldic. We'd always encourage people and thank people for what they did. But Adam Lachaver, that's not a midas. That's not a musadikazah. That you mukhiv to do. But Adam Lamokim, if the din is shiny, you go to the din. You want to do a lifnei mishua sadin, so do bitzina. You don't have to advertise what you're doing. But the Bali Musa would go out of their way to do in a public demonstrative fashion. But Adam Lachaver, that's the real din. That's the real din. That's the din of Kavar Abiyas. Lo yitama. Is a mitzvah sasid to show Kavar Abiyas. To what extent is Kavar Abiyas doiche edinim deraisa? So the Gemara has a whole sugya and a long discussions over there. But this pasuk, v'salamto, is only a mamayno, the Gemara says, and you can't derive from mamayno to the other cases. Then you have many other dinim in between here. You have the din of of kiloi hakerem, not permitted to plant kiloi hakerem. The season karmachol kiloi. Kiloi hakerem is only osur menator in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Lord's only osur with the rabbana, but in Chutz Lord said it's osur with the rabbana. Not only is it osur to plant it, it's osur bahanoah also. How do we know? The Mishnayos in the end of Tmura list off the Mishnayos in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin list off all Yisuri hanoah. And the last Mishnah in Tmur lists off all these. Now, what's it doing in Kiddushin? The Mishnah says, if he mekadosh an isha, b'shove kesef is mekudeshes, but it has to be shove pruto. So if he mekadosh be suri hanoh, so it's not considered shove pruto. For some reason or another, different explanations the Rishonim give. So the Mishnah gives you a whole list of all these suri hanoh. Then the Mishnah in the end of Tmura, the last staff in Tmura, divides all of these suri hanoh into two categories. Some of them are nikborim. You have to throw them in the garbage or dispose of them somehow. You don't leave it around the house. Mishum chashash takolim. Somebody will be nichshol, someone will use it. You're not allowed to leave tray for food around the house either. If there's someone may make a mistake and think it's kosher, they'll eat it. You say, Rehana, for sure you shouldn't leave it around the house. Half of the Rehana on the Gborim, half of them on Israfim. So the Mishnah says that Orlo and Kloya Kerem are Minhan Israfim. You're supposed to burn it. How do you know he's supposed to burn it? So the Gemara has a Torah Shabbat Peh, has a drush. It says, Pentigdash Hamaleya Azera Shetizo Tuas Hakor. It said, Pentigdash means lest it'll become Osabanoa. Hegdash is Osabanoa. If you'll allow the Kilayim to grow, if you plant Kilay Hakerim, or even if it happens by itself, Mechitzos Hakem Shenifritzo, if the fence falls down, it's going to develop Kilay Hakerim by itself, so it'll become Osabanoa, Pentigdash. And the Torah Shem Alpeh has an additional level of interpretation, Pentukaresh, that if it becomes Klei HaKerem and it's also Banoah, then the din requires that you have to burn it. So that's the source that Klei HaKerem is Bisreifa. Yeah. What about Orlo? How do you know that Orlo is Bisreifa? So Rashi and Tosfos don't know what the Mokar is. The last Mishnah in the last Amud Beis in Tmura. The Perek of the Mesichta ends on Amud Aleph. It's the last Amud Beis in the Mesichta. Rashi and Tosfos don't know. Tosfos says apparently there's some kind of a Yalfusa they don't know what it is. Some kind of a yafusa connecting Orlo and Klei Aker. So the posik by Klei Aker, Pentukdash, Pentukadesh, carries over also to Orlo. So Taka Orlo, if a person plants a tree or plants a bush, there's a mitzvah to burn all the pears that grow the first 3 years. That's what Chasam Sofer says. He always watched his Rebbe, Rav Nos Nadler. And he says he never noticed that his Rebbe, he was with his Rebbe all the time. He says he never saw that he burnt the Orla. He had Orla bushes that he wouldn't eat. They had thrown in the garbage. He never burnt it. So what happened to the din that it's been on Israfim? So the Chasam Sofer comes up with a big chiddush that it doesn't mean that you mechuyev to burn it. It means han Israfim afra mutter. The Mishnah says, if you have basa b'chalav is min hanik barim, so if you burn it, the yeshes are also asabano. If you have chves other things, petach hamor, lachar arifa is asabano, so if you burn it, the yeshes will still be asabano. But han israfim afra mutter, if you burn orlo klei akerim, then the yeshes will be mutter. So the Chasam Sofer says, it doesn't mean that it's min hanisraf, it's a mitzvah to burn. Throwing the garbage is also good. If you'll burn it, then the yeshes will be mutter. That's how the Chasam Sofer says.
Isn't the reason that
Hanisraf is not part of Mutter because that's an instrument to burn it? So this is not like Reb Chaim. This Chasam Sofer, our Hashulchan gets all excited, he quotes this Chasam Sofer, he said that's the Pshat. And the Chasam Sofer considers this answers another kasha that he had. First, the main kasha was on my Rebbe. How come my Rebbe never burnt? That's the main kasha. How come my Rebbe never burnt the oil? The second kasha is, how come the money ha-mitzvah never counted as a mitzvah to burn? You count the tashbisu, mitzvah to destroy the chayim. How come nobody counted this mitzvah? So he said, the teretz is, there's no mitzvah to burn it. If you burn it, the yeshes will be mutah. So this is not like Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim, everybody knows, and Rab Chaim says the reason, he quotes the Rishonim, that the reason why the yeshes ha-nisraf and mafra mutah is because ein l'cho davash and asis mitzvah say, because it's a mitzvah to burn it. And it's also b'ana because it's oimed l'mitzvasa. So once you did the mitzvah, it's no longer oimed l'mitzvasa. If you get hanoah from the nisrafim before you burn it, that's considered as if that constitutes a bitla mitzvah of the sreifa. But after you already did the sreifa, so there's no bitla mitzvah, so it's mutter. So the whole thrust of the din, all the hezba that Rab Chaim gives is against the Chasam Sofer. I remember a big Tom Chochmans once answering Rabbi Gifter. How can the Chasam Sofer say that it's against Reb Chaim? So he said, Chasam Sofer is allowed to disagree with Reb Chaim. See, this is Tom Chochmans from Flatbush. He was working, he was from Chaim Berlin, working on the assumption. Whatever Reb Chaim says, that's Torah Shabbat. So how can the Chasam Sofer say against? So Rabbi Gifter had this big insight. Chasam Sofer is allowed to disagree with Reb Chaim. So it's a different Havana.
Well, we were talking before
The Gemara says when it says Adam in Chumash and Tanakh it refers to the Jews, but this is a Mishnah. Chavi Adam Shnei Bezam is a Mishnah, that's not Tanakh. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says in biblical Hebrew in Tanakh the word Adam only refers to Jewish people, but this is not a pasuk. Yeah.
What's the difference of Asar B'Challah? The Asar B'Challah, Asar B'Ana, and the mitzvah of Lingling Hani Barim. Why is it different from Arla and Kivaya Karim? Also Asar B'Ana.
According to the Chasam Sofer, what's the explanation? I don't know. That's what he's asking. Reb Chaim gave a whole explanation based on the Rishonim, Nasas Mitzvah Son. That's if you assume that it's a mitzvah to burn it. But if the Chasam Sofer says no mitzvah to burn it, just if you burn it, it's mutter, so why should that be so? It's part of chadoshes. So let it be mutter by the nigbarim also. I don't know. That's a good kash.
So to burn because of your Surayana.
Yeah, yeah.
So also
right. That's his kasha. Why should it make a difference? The Rambam happens not to agree with the whole thing. Tosfos says like that. Hanisrafim afra mutter applies to Orlo and Klei Aker. Tosfos in Psochim in the second parak understands like that. The Rambam is mefurish both in the Pirush HaMishnayos and the end of Tmura, as well as in Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says Hanisrafim shal hegdish afra mutter. It doesn't say by Orlo Klei Aker. on in this Rafim Shal Hagdish, that also Tom Bir. Why should that be so? What is the Pshat in the Rambam? But that is the Pasuk. Pasuk speaks about, Pasuk speaks about Kloy Haker. What about Kloy Zeraim if you plant vegetables near each other? So we usually assume that's the other Pasuk. Sotcha Lasizri Kalaim. Here it says Lasira Karmacha Kilaim. That's Kloy Hakerim. Also to plant it in Eretz Yisrael and also Banoa, Pentukdash, Pentukareish. It's also Banoa and it's Tom Sreifa. But if you plant Kloy Zeraim, that's a different Pasuk. And the other Pasuk, it doesn't say it's also Banoa. So Kloy Zeraim is also to plant it, but B'nieved it'll be Muta Banoa. Rashi learns in the Gemara that the whole pasuk of the whole institution of Kloy Zeraim is only Midrabbanim. It doesn't exist Minatar. Even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only Midrabbanim. The Gemara says they will never go to Kloy Zeraim Machutz Lords. Why not? So Rashi understood in the Gemara because it will be a Gzeru L'Gzeru. Because even in Eretz Yisrael proper, the prohibition against planting one vegetable too close to the other is only Midrabbanim. The Yisrael Dera says only on Kloy HaKerem. And the pasuk says, Sotcha L'Sizir Kalayim refers to Kloy HaKerem. Taisus disagrees in a big way with Rashi. It's not true. They're two different dinim deraisa. Why they weren't goyz at Kloy Zeraim Machutz Lord? So the Gemara gives a reason. We don't understand it. The Gemara says that Kloy HaKerem is so much more chomer than Kloy Zeraim Baharaya that even B'diyevit it's also Bahanoah. So therefore it's so chomer. So they made a Gzer Machutz Lord out to where it's Yisrael. But Kloy Zeraim, which is only also to plant it, but once you planted it, it'll be muta bano. So they never made a gzeira chutz lartz. That's a strange explanation. So it's not also b'diyevit, but still an isa deraisa. You get malchus if you plant it. So why didn't they make a gzeira chutz lartz out to Eretz Yisrael? But that's what it says in the Gemara.
Okay. Then you mentioned about burning the pile on giant fat. Related at all to burning like the Truma's man.
To Truma Temeya? No. Truma Temeya is the Gemara in Bamem Adlikin. The Gemara says, Kishem Shemitzu Lisra Fesa Kotch Mishenitmu, Kach Mitzu Lisra Fesa Truma Shenitmu. That's how you know you have to burn Truma Temeya. So Taisus there has two opinions, whether that means Kishem Shemitzu Lisra Fesa Kotch Mishenitmu, that's a Pasuk in Chumash. That's a real Din Daraisa. Kach Mitzu Lisra Fesa Truma Shenitmu is a Mitzvah Men HaTorah. Was it only Midirana Mishum Takola? So that's two opinions in Taisus. They say Levi has a long Arichas Anat on those two opinions. No, but this is a Din Daraisa for sure. To burn oil or Klara Kerem is assumed to be a real Din Daraisa. There are many Psukim in the Chumash, I'm skipping a lot. We learned in the beginning of Elonaris, we learned the psukim regarding Amoine Mayavi. Lo Yovai Amoine Mayavi Bikal Hashem is in Isa Lav. And then Mitzvi Vedaimi, the Gemara says, is only in Isa Resi. You're allowed to marry the third generation. The first two generations of a Mitzvi Vedaimi and his Gairu can marry Gairim, but they can't marry Yisraelim. So that's only Alav Abba Mechlala say. So the Gemara had a Machdeh, we learned the four versions of Rabbi Akiva that he holds Enki Tushin Tovsim Mechaybi Elavin. Is it only Chaybi Elavin the share? Is it even Chaybi Elavin the Lav the share? Amane Mayover? Is it even Yisra Esay? Or not? So the Gemara spoke about this. When the Torah prohibits the Amane Mayover, the Torah gives a reason. Advar Shavakid Meschem Balechem Uvamayim. So usually the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, Reb Shimon and the Chacham. Reb Shimon is the owner of the Zohar, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Zohar talks a lot about Tamei HaMitzvah. Sefer Chinuch talks a lot about Tamei HaMitzvah. The Arizal talks a lot. The Rambam in the Gemara, the Bochum talks a lot about what's the reasoning behind the mitzvahs. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, and the second parak in Sanhedrin, and the end of Bob, and see whether Darshin and Taima Dikra, Loi Darshin and Taima Dikra, whether the ascertaining what the reason for the mitzvah is, that's a chelik of Talmud Torah. You have to learn Tanakh, and you have to learn Torah Shabbat Peh. You have to learn what are the reasons for the mitzvahs. What moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah trying to teach us by giving us this mitzvah? So figuring out Taima Dikra is a chelik of Talmud Torah. Is that all it is? Just a chelik of Talmud Torah? Or should we say no? It's from the Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes, like Klal HaPrat, and Dabashoi Bechlal, and Kal V'Chomer, and Zereshav, and so on. So that's the Reb Shimon is of the opinion Darshin and Taima Dikra. The Taima Dikra is from the Midrashah Torah Nidresh Hispam. You can ascertain, get all the Rabbanim together, and you have a convention, and you ascertain the reason for the mitzvah is this, and whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole din doesn't apply. That's Reb Shimon's opinion. The Pasuk says, L'sachvo beged almona. You're not allowed to take, if you lent money to an almona, you're not allowed to take any clothing from the almona, not allowed to take her dresses as a mashkin. Reb Shimon says the reason is obvious, that if she's an almona, if she's a poor almona, and you're going to take a beged, so she if she needs the ksus yom bayom, or she needs the ksus laila balaila, so the Torah says you have to give it back. So let's say the poor almona has to work for a living. So in the daytime she's going to go to work. So I'm going to, I don't trust her. She owes me the money. So I'm going to come at 7 o'clock in the morning before she goes to work. I'll say, she calls me up on the phone, she wants back her dress to go to work. I say, I'll give you back the dress, but I want your pajamas. So she's going to take off the pajamas. She's standing undressed behind the door, and she sticks out, she gives me the pajamas, and I give her the dress. And I'm walking on the street with the pajamas. Then at night, she calls me up at 11:30. She wants to go to sleep, 12:30. She wants the pajamas back. So I say, but I want a mashkin. You may skedaddle with the money. So she says, okay, I'll give you the dress. So I go to her home at 12 o'clock at night, and she takes off the dress behind the door. She's standing there undressed. And I give her the pajamas, and she gives me the dress. I'm going to walk home in the street with the dress. So the people, all the neighbors, they're going to see the rich man, all dressed up fancy, walking in the street, 12 o'clock with the woman's dress, 7 o'clock in the morning with the woman's pajamas every day. What's going on over here? So they're going to say, the guy's probably having an affair with her. He's paying her money. He's rich, and they know that she's poor. So we understand the Sachva Beged Amana. But the question is, what if it's Mrs. Gimbel's or Mrs. Macy's? She's a multimillionaireess. And I lend her $1 million, and she gives me a whole rack full of 30 dresses. So that's also an issa, the sachva beged almana. I'm not going to have to give it back. Ksusa mayom ksus laila balaila. So Rab Shimon is of the opinion darshin and taima dekro. The reason for the mitzvah is from the midrash atarinu d'rashes bam. And whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So the Gemara says we don't paskin like Rab Shimon. We paskin doy darshin and taima dekro. It's important to ascertain what's the reason for the mitzvah. That's a chelak of Talmud Torah. The Gemara discusses in Baba Kama, how come a ganav pays kefal and a gazlan doesn't pay kefal? How come shor baseh, how come chamisha bokar, yishalem tachas hashor, ba'abatzon tachas haseh? How come this and how come that? So the Gemara gives good reasons, explanations. It's important to know the explanation. But that's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispam.
When it comes to the dresses, like Takanos of Hazal, we say that there are many reasons behind, even though we only know some of the reasons, like the Graf says famously on Maimon, that there are many different reasons for the Takanos of Hazal. So that doesn't, we only say Kalaf Omer to the Torah Shabbat, that the Torah gives one reason, but there are obviously many reasons.
So good Kasha. It's a kasha on the Vilna Gaon. Why don't you say that there's so many different reasons? Who says the Bez knew all of the reasons? They only gave one reason. That's a very good kasha. I don't know. So we don't paskin like Reb Shimon, but over here, even the Chachamim agree. Here the pasuk says, "Lo yav amani mayav bekal Hashem because al debar shel kidmes alecha v'mayim bederch b'tzeis chumim mitzrayim v'asher socha alecha zbila mamior," and so on. Here the pasuk says the reason. It's not that we had a convention of Rabbanim and we decided what the reason is. Whenever the Chumash says the din and says the reason, why next to it? So then even the Chachamim agree. Darshin and time and ikro. So that's how the Chachamim, in the days of David HaMelech, that's how they ascertain that Amoyni Yah, Amoav Yah, Amuta Lava Bekol. Advala Shevakid Maeschem, Balech Vamaim, the Gemara says, Ish Darka Lekadim, Isha Ein Darka Lekadim. We never expected of the women of Ammon and Moab that they should come out and supply food, Lechem Amaim to Bnei Yisrael. We only expected of the men. So since the Torah writes the reason next to the mitzvah, so whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. That's what Achreinim, I think, the Chasam Sefer writes. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, when the Mishnah talks about the din of Kfura. There's a din of Halona Sameis, if possible. Kovetik Bereda by Yamahu, if a person dies 9 in the morning, you should really bury the person before Shkia, that's by Yamahu. If it's impossible to bury, a person dies 10 minutes before the Shkia, not Bechdeshi Asa, so then the Torah says, Le Solon, Nivlosai, Alhoetz. Halona is Alos Ashacha. Should try to bury him at night, if the union will let you. You try to bury him at night before Alos Ashacha. So there's an essay, Kovetik Bereda by Yamahu, Lachatkhila, on the same day, if possible, before the Shkia. And if that's not possible, then you have a lav lasola not to leave it over till alos hashachar. What if you want to get more people to attend your funeral? So you want to announce in the shuls and the newspapers or the radio, whatever you want to announce. So then helineu lechvodo, then the Mishnah says that it's mutter. So the Achrenim are bothered with the kasha. What do you mean helineu lechvodo? You mean you're giving the reason. The whole reason for the prohibition of havanas ameis is because of bizayin ameis. But if you mail in the ameis mishum kvodo, then it's mutter. What happened to the klal loy dashin in time of the cross? So I think the Chasam Sofer gives that answer. Here it says, the reason it says in the Pasuk, L'sov nevelos al heitz, ki kilos elekim taloi. It says why? Because of Kavod Abrius. So since the Torah itself writes next to the prohibition, it writes the reason, so whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the whole din doesn't apply. If it's lekavod ameis, the Mishnah says mutter, because the Gemara assumes, the Mishnah assumes that the reason does not apply. Kikilas elikim pashib shah means that the person is one of the bottom lamakim, so that's why you have to treat him with dignity and respect, even after he dies. But if the dignity, if the respect requires to leave him overnight, so then mishum kavod ameis, you do leave him overnight. Yeah. Chumash continues with the dinim of the Jewish army. There's an institution of Machna Yisrael. What's a special din of Machna Yisrael? You have to be careful for tzoya, kedushas ha-machna. You have to be careful not to have tzoya. Yosetir lecha lazeinecho, with all the other things you have in your pack, you have to have a shovel. And when there's tzoya, v'chafarta v'shapta v'chisisa se'asecha. You have to cover over the tzoya. You have to be careful. You have to be careful for erva and for tzoya. Because of the kavod hashchina. The kedushas hamachna is required because of the kavod hashchina. So the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Erevin discusses avod dvarim patra b'machna. The Chachamim gave four kulas to dinim the rabbanon. They gave four kulas. If you have an army of Jewish soldiers, so the Yerushalmi says, it has to be a machne like the machne in the Chumash. So how many soldiers do you have to have in that battalion, in one location, that it should be considered machne, a machne? Three soldiers, it's a mezumen, that's enough. The Yerushalmi has up his three different opinions. I think one opinion is 10,000, one opinion is 1,000, each one. One opinion, 1,000, based on elef lamata, 1,000 soldiers is called a machne. Even though the whole machna was 12,000 by the Melchemes Midyan. And then I think the Chazanish there on Erevin, the end of the first parak, quotes the Magid Mishnah and the Rambam, who assumes that we pass like the third opinion in the Yerushalmi, 10. If you have 10 soldiers, why 10 soldiers? Kol be'asara shchinta sharya. If you have 10 people saying a Dovish HaBikdusha, that's acceptable. To recite a Dovish HaBikdusha, that's a din with the Rabbanim. To recite a Dovish HaBikdusha, you need a minyan, v'negdash tebisoch b'nei Yisrael. Toch has the connotation of Asorah. So just like if 10 people want to recite the Dovish HaBikdusha, we assume the Shechina will be there. So if you have 10 soldiers fighting the Melchameh, that's also we assume the Shechina will be there. The Chazanish adds on, this part probably was written during before the Second World War, something like that. So he writes, if you have the Jewish brigade in the British army, that's not called Machne Yisrael. It has to be a Jewish army that's sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And even if the Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, and even if she's really Jewish, that's not called Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael means a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So if a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael sponsors a Jewish army, so that's called Machne Yisrael. He writes that, in Mohammed HaShechrur, I think the Chazanish says, there wasn't yet, maybe there was already a Jewish government, but before, let's say the Palmach, before they had a Jewish government, they're fighting to establish a Jewish government. He said, that's not called Machne Yisrael. Machne Yisrael is if you have Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, and that Jewish government sponsors an army, so then if you have 10 soldiers, B'mokam Echod, That has the din of machne. That has the din of machne min haTorah. Then you get to the kedushas haMachne. That has the din of machne min haRabbanon. The end of the first perek in Erevin. Shaila is how close do the soldiers have to be? So the Chazon Ish writes, he thinks whatever 10 people will be mitzarif to a minyan. So if you have 5 people in the house and 5 people out of the building, so then I'm mitzarif to the minyan. You have to have 10 people in one room. You can't have in 2 different places. What if you have 10 people al pnei hasodah, but they're scattered about? They're very far away from each other. They talk with each other on walkie-talkies. So is that called you have 10 people? Because they're not in 2 different rooms. But not in one room. They're so far apart from each other. So the Chazon Ish thinks there must be some shir. Let's say you have 10 people, one adavin chazoras hashatz. Al pnei hasodah. So how close do they have to be? They have to be touching each other. They have to be holding hands. How close do they have to be mitzarv to a minyan? So he's guessing, he doesn't know. So he thinks shivim ama b'shirayim. That's a fantastic chiddush. Shivim ama b'shirayim al pi pashtus is mishnayis in erevin. Okay, it's taka din deraisa. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. It sounds like a very funny pasuk. So you see that it's a din. Tosfos says you see it's a din deraisa. Shivim ama b'shirayim is a din in houses. When houses are mitztarif with the house before it to extend the city limits. Where does the city end, and then the tchum begins, and then chutz l'tchum. So the city extends if you have another house, toch shivim amos b'shirayim, within 70 amos of the other house. So the posh pshat and the gemara and erevin, the mishnayis and the gemara and erevin, that's a din in configuration of a city, houses in a city. So the Chazon Ish thinks that it applies to soldiers al pnei hasodah. The soldiers have to be shivim amos b'shirayim to each other. That if they should to be mitzarif to a minyan. Then he says, whoever can't be mitzarif, let's say the Rambam has a tshuva that they quote in Shulchan Aruch, apikoris, dina ka'akum, can't be mitzarif him to a minyan. So he thinks that if you have a soldier in the army who's an apikoris, also not mitzarif to the minyan. You have to have 10 people, ki Hashem lakach mesalach bekerach machnech lahatzilech, the shechina will be there, kol be'asara shechinta sharia. Yes, if there are 10 people who are shaykh to be mitzarif to a minyan. But if someone is not dina ka'akum, then you don't have a din machna. It's a chiddush.
Have to hear each other. I mean, the minyan have to be able to hear each other. So it depends on circumstances.
Yeah.
If he's quiet, there's nothing happening.
So he thinks even if someone has a very powerful voice and he can scream very loud, if they're not toch shivim ama b'shirayim to each other, he thinks that it's not acceptable. It's a chiddush. No, but if they're all in one room, then the room is mitzarifim. That's the din. If you have 9 people in one room, 9 people in another room, so many poskim hold that they're not mitzarif. It happens a lot in the base of Oval. They have a big crowd, so why should they all squeeze into one room? So they have 18 people, so 9 in one room, 9 in the other room. So many poskim hold that you don't have a minyan. The Mishnah says in Brachos, if you have 9 people in one room and 3 people in the other room, they can bench mezum and b'shem if miktsasim roim meilu aseilu. So some of the poskim extend that to tefillah b'tzibur also, that you can do chazaras hashatz if miktsasim roim meilu aseilu. And many poskim disagree. That's only a din and bench and mezum and b'shem. That's not a dovah shebikdusha. But what you really need a dovah shebikdusha called be'asar shechinta sharia, the 10 people have to be in the same room. If they're 2 different rooms, is no good. After al pnei hasodah, so then you have to dig up a new shir. So the Chazon Ish thought that the shir should be shivim ama b'shirayim.
He says it's specifically because of the same din as what you would need in the minyan for davening, or just because that's what's considered machne.
No, he thinks the same for a minyan for davening. Machne elakim. You need the Rishami has the 3 shitas. How many soldiers do you need in the army base that it should have the status of a machne? So one opinion, I think 10,000. Based on the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, and then one opinion, 1,000, based on Elef Lamata, and Melchemes Midyan. And the Magid Mishnah thinks that we should pass on, like the third opinion, 10 people. Machne Elikim. Machne Elikim says by the angels, when Yankov Avinu saw. But the word Machne appears over there. So Machne Elikim means it has a din of a Machne if you consider Dovah Shebikdush, if you have 10 people.
Masada, then, if there's something interrupting, even though they're within that distance, is that
because
the same
thing
of being in
2 separate rooms
within a house?
Or? What do you mean, on 2 different sides of the Suez Canal?
Yeah.
They had these shilas after Mohammed Yom Kippurim. This Chalamot Sukkah is following Mohammed Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Schlesinger, who used to be, at that time he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim, so he convened an asifa of all the religious boys that were in the army, Achala Matzukas in Shalavim. They should come and discuss all the shailas that came up. So everybody wrote down all the shailas, and they looked them all up in Mishnah Berurah, and he said something like 95% of the shailas were explicit in the Mishnah Berurah, but whoever reads all those details, we always skip. Mishnah Berurah has all these details, you skip it. But he said that the Ruba of the shailas were Mefurish in the Mishnah Berurah. So that was one of the shailas. Five people on one side of the Suez Canal, five people on the other side of the Suez Canal, can they say Chazoras HaShatz? Then Tkiya Shofar, they were before Yom Kippur also. Can you blow Shofar in the cave, out of the cave? All the dinim in the Gemara about Tkiya Shofar in a cave.
How does the Ibur HaYir is between everybody or between each person? Do you extend it down off the line, 70
feet each? No, I think between one person and the other, between that person and the next person, like when you have houses in the city. Like the houses in the city, yeah. If each house is within 70 amos to the other one, so the city limit extends. Right.
And so, it doesn't make sense then why that's the shir, because the whole din there is that if it's within 70, then it's considered part of the city. The whole din is to be part of a machne. If you're past that, it's not.
Yeah, but if not for this chazanish, one would have thought that that's a dinic configuration of houses that are attached to the ground. It doesn't apply to people. I find it still very surprising. Still didn't digest this chazanish. I don't know. So the Torah says, the Gemara says in Brachas that when you want to daven, when you want to learn, you have to be careful. You shouldn't be tzoy, you shouldn't be meiraglayim, you shouldn't be ervo. All the dinim I learned that from this pasuk. This pasuk is not talking about learning, it's not talking about davening, it's just talking about fighting a war. So the Netziv has a fantastic chiddush. In the Hakdomet, his commentary on the Shiltas and the Kidmas HaEmek. So he's guessing, so he thinks that because it says in the Chazal in so many different places that to be Menatzech in the Melchama, you have to have a lot of people learning Torah. In the Schus of Liman HaTorah, we will be victorious in battle. The Gemara has one of the many Gemaras that he quotes is the Gemara Makkos. Om Desai Ragleinu B'Sharaich Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, some of those are learning by Mochama in the schus of Shari Yerushalayim, because they're learning in the Kollel and Yerushalayim. So that's why the Amdos HaRaglenu, the army, is successful in battle. So he suggests that maybe since in the schus of Liman HaTorah, that's why they would be successful in battle. So he says they probably sent a group of Kollelnikis to the front, that they should sit and learn over there. That's highly so. Then you have to be careful. Soya meraglaim and erva. That's because of the people who are sitting and learning. The pashup shot is that bisharaych Yerushalayim. The kollel is learning Yerushalayim, and the schus of the Talmud Torah Yerushalayim. The Jewish army is successful not because they send a battalion of soldiers. So how can you learn out? How can you learn out? So the pashta says, I remember Rabbi Gorin came to America after the Sinai campaign. That was before you people were born. So at that time he was the chief chaplain in the army. So he came and he made a big hit. He's a very entertaining speaker. So he pointed out that when the Jewish soldiers are fighting a war, there's a hashuas hashchina. Kashem alakecha mesalach bekarach machnecha lahatzi lecho. Out of covered hashchina, you have to be careful for tzoya and erva meraglayim. So who are dinami that it applies also to davening and to learning, because we also assume there's going to be a hashuas hashchina. But the original pasuk is not talking about davening, not talking about learning, just about Jewish soldiers fighting Mohammed Hashem on behalf of the Jewish Medina. So that's the pasuk promise that the Shechina will be there.
If there are 10 people in one room and 5 people out in the hallway, then it's tare?
They're not mitztarev. We assume that that too is tefila b'tzibur.
There was at least one in YU and they had overflow.
Right, so if you have the 10 people in one room and the other people davening outside, it's also called Derech HaShulchan, it's like that. Rav Soloveitchik also taught like that, that if you have 10 people in one room, the others are davening in the hallway, that's also called Tefillah B'Tzibur. Sukkah written here in order, let's see. Yeah, then there's a lot of parshas we're skipping. The Chumash has the din of Nidorim, Kisida Nedal Hashem Alakech Losa Acher Lishama, din of Bal Te'acher. The Gemara says in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, Davob, that you violate Bal Te'acher if you wait Shalosh Regolim. Then the Pasuk says, Motzos Vasecha Tishma V'yasisa Kashen Adarta Hashem Alakech Nidova Asher Dibarta B'Ficha. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs counts one mitzvah, says it, to observe Nidorim and Shavuos. Says in Parshas Matos, so he puts it together with Mitzvah Sechet Tishma. He says that's a repeat, a kefil mitzvah. So there's one mitzvah Saseh, Mitzvah Sechet Tishma, and the pasuk in Matos, and then there's Aloy Saseh, Aloy Yachal Dvorei. Chalayetzim Yipiv Yaseh is an essay, and Aloy Yachal Dvorei is Aloy Saseh. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs is massing on the Rambam. We should have counted these as two different mitzvahs, I say. The essay there, how to say again? So the Ramban Tainas, that's talking about Nidrei Harishus. So that's an Iser, I say. That's not a Kiyum, I say. This pasuk is talking about Nidrei Mitzvah. He's seen a nether, Lashem Alakecha. He took a nether to give tzedakah, to bring a korban, to learn daf yomi. A Nidrei Mitzvah, so then there's a key message. Mitzvah Sechet Tishmar, Yasisa Kashan Adarta Lashem Alakech Nidova. If you have, this is a key message. Not only does it get schar for giving the tzedakah, for bringing the korban, it gets schar for fulfilling the neder as well. But the other pasuk, what's the other pasuk? Kolayetzim Yipiv Yaseh, the Ramban says that's only an Isser Aseh. That's not a key message. They said the Meshugana takes a neder. He's not going to attend the Shevet Brachas. He's angry at his mother-in-law. He's not going to attend the Shevet Brachas. And he doesn't attend the Shevet Brachas. His mother-in-law is having a 100th birthday. He doesn't like it. He takes on that. He's not going to attend. So he has a mitzvah that he has a mitzvah. He has an aver. He doesn't have a mitzvah. A kiyum maaseh is only if it's a nidrei mitzvah, not if it's a nidrei harishus. So the Ramban thinks that it should have been counted as two different mitzvahs, I say. So the Etchik taught that the Rambam also agrees with this assumption of the Ramban. The Rambam held that it's sufficiently similar that it should be counted as one mitzvah saseh. In certain cases it'll be a ki maseh, and in all cases it'll be an iser saseh. But he thought the Rambam is not a disagreement with the Ramban, that one is a ki maseh, one is an iser saseh. Then the Ramban draws another two distinctions. He says, Bal ta'acher l'sach l'shama only applies to nidrei mitzvah, doesn't apply to nidrei harishus. Let's say the guy takes a nether, he's only 20 years old, takes a nether. Before I die, I will abstain from eating potato chips for a month. And I will decide which month it's going to be. He's going to determine. Has a long way to go. He's only 20 years old. So does he have to hurry up quickly? He should pick a month to abstain from the potato chips before Shalosh Regolim goes by. Or is it no din of lo sacha l'shamai anidri harishus? So there's a ran in the dorim, where the Ran writes as a din of Bal Te'acher and Nidrei Harishus. So on the side of the Gemara, Rabbi Kivegan, the Gilyon Ashas, writes to look in the Ramban that the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs says that Lo Sa'acha L'Sham is only written here in Parashas Kisetze in conjunction with Nidrei Mitzvah, because there is no Bal Te'acher and Nidrei Harishus. Then the Ramban thinks that there's a third distinction between them, that in Nidrei Harishus, the person has to say Hareini Noider, Hareini Nishba. If he just gets angry, he says, I'm not going to go to that Shevet Brachas. I'm not going to go to the Bar Mitzvah. He didn't say Hareini Noider, he didn't say Hareini Nishba. So it's not binding. But he says, by Nidrei Mitzvah would appear from the Gemara that he doesn't have to say Hareini Noider. It has the status of a Neder. He says, Okum V'yeshna Perek Zeh. The Gemara gives an example. I will wake up early tomorrow morning and I will attend the Shir, the Daf Yomi Shir before Shacharis. So the Gemara says, Okum v'yeshnam perik zel, wake up early and learn this perik in Gemara. Neda gadol noda lalakei yisol. The Gemara says, that's considered Nidrei Mitzvah, even though he never said Hareini Noider, Hareini Nishba. Two different dinim, Nidrei Harishus and Nidrei Mitzvah. The Gemara says that usually a Shavua is only binding nefesh kisishova levate bisvasayim. That's how the Pasuk says in the end of Parshas Vayikra. Nefesh kisishova levate bisvasayim. A Shavua you have to have a bitui sasaim. If goma beliboy, it's not binding. Tzach lahoitzi bisvasa. Oma shmuel. That's a gemara shvua. Zav chavav. Oma shmuel goma beliboy. A person made up his mind to accept the shvua. not to eat the potato chips, so it's not binding unless tzorach lahotzi b'svasu. Does that only apply to shvuas, or does it also apply to nedarim? So that's a machlokes. Some rishonim say, some rishonim understood the rabbi and Tam said this, that it only applies to shvuah, doesn't apply to nedarim. But we don't assume like that. We assume on the first mishnah in nedarim, the mishnah says that yodis nedarim is kinedarim, even though he didn't say a full sentence. He said an incomplete sentence, but it's understood based on the half a sentence that he said. We know what he's driving at. The Yodis Nedarim is also Kinedarim. So the Rishonim say, if you don't need deeper at all by Neder, so what do you need a Chiddush that Yodis Nedarim is Kinedarim? So if in the Mishnah it would appear that you do need Levate B'Sfasayim by Neder, just like by Shavuah. And Yad is considered Levate B'Sfasayim. So are there any exceptions to the rule? So the Gemara says, yeah, there are certain things. This is called Inyani HaFlo. The Rambam has 14 Svarim in the Mishnah Torah. The Yarech HaZokah, we gave it a nickname. Klal Yisrael didn't like the Rambam's name, Mishnah Torah. The Rambam said, you call the Mishnah Torah, all you have to do is study Tanakh and my book, and you know all there is to know. The Klal Yisrael thought that that's a little too much. So they don't use that name, Mishnah Torah. We call it the Yarech HaZokah, the Yudav, the 14 Svarim. So one of the 14 Svarim, also the Shalom, they don't call it the Shnei Luchas Abris. And the Chassam Sofer, they don't call it Teres Moshe. So these three Svarim, they don't call by the name. So look, this is Teres Moshe. It's not Teres Moshe. This is Rav Moshe Sofer wrote a Sofer.
In the
Shema Gidolim,
I don't remember where, but the Hadal Menachem Sion quotes from his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, this Svar, that they don't call it Rachmiyah Mishne Torah Chazaka, they don't call it Shnei Luchas Abris, the Al-Sheikh is Torah Moshe also. We don't call it Torah Moshe, we call it Yal-Sheikh. Mm-hmm. He says, Tau HaTalmidim who called their Sefer a Sefer Chatam Sofer. He didn't call it the Sefer that name. He said the grandchildren called their grandfather Sefer that name.
Ah,
he
okay.
He didn't call his own Sefer that name.
Okay, good to know. Yashu Kayam, good. We call it Chatam Sofer. We don't call it Teres Moshe. Good, okay. So the Rambam has one of the 14 Svarim is Sefer HaFloh. HaFloh means, Rashi writes, Lefala, HaFloh, Rashi writes, Lefarish Bisfasa. Remember when I was, before Bar Mitzvah, I was in Rabbi Yankelevich's class in elementary school, so he taught us Chumash. So he said, when we learned that Pasuk, Nefesh ki sishava, no, how to say, Isha Isha ki afli linder neder nozer lahazel Hashem, so it says ki afli, Rashi says, Nefarish bisvasov. The Rabbi Yankelevich said that in French you say parlay, could be Rashi writes like that, parlay. So parlay balaz is to speak, so he Yafli is similar to parlay. Maybe it's the same root. Maybe it comes from the same word. So, the Gemara says, all in Yoni HaFlo really need Amira, but there are several exceptions to the rule, but you don't need Amira. So one is Afrosh HaStruma. Truma need tell us b'machshove, because it says, v'nech shal lachem truma aschem, truma eschal b'machshove. Then the Gemara says, another exception to the rule, the Gemara says, shnei ksuv ma'boy kecha, the two psukim, that are exceptions to the rule that you don't need lefarish b'tzvasam. The other exception to the rule is karbonis. The pasuk says in Dibra Yomim, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Dibra Yomim, kol nediv le'boilas heviu. Those had been menade belibam to bring a karbon oila brought it. So that's the question, how far do you go with that exception to the rule? Is it only on oilas? Only goes on karbon oila? Does it go on all karbonis? Does it even go on kol shebedek abayis? So we assume that all nidre mitzvah are chal balev, not only kol nidiv levoyos. And that's what a minik toiv is based on. A minik toiv, the Gemara says, is binding me kam nedem de rabbanon. The Gemara in the Dorm says, dap tezvav. It's not a nedem in a term. Why is it a nedem de rabbanon? Because min haTorah, it's only if you actually took nidre mitzvah. Let me say, they're all chal b'machshava. We're machman to treat all nidre mitzvah as opposed to nidre harshus. We treat all nidrei mitzvah as if they were hegdish, and the pasuk says, "Kol nidiv le'voilas heviu." Person is, let's say, they're making an appeal. Guy makes up his mind; he's going to give $1,000, so he's mechliv to give it, even though he never said b'fiv anything. Goma beliba is chayv because that's nidrei mitzvah. In this parsha of nidrei mitzvah, we say that it's chal b'machshava. So if you have a minik toiv, so mid the rabbanon, we treat that as if it were nidrei mitzvah, and it's chal b'machshava. So that's the whole Yisoid Adin. These two different parshas, Nidri Harishus and Nidri Mitzvah. And Nidri Mitzvah, that's one version of the Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan, the Rosh, quotes the Rabbi Natan, that if a person has to be Mekabel Tainis, Mincha, the day before. He wants to fast tomorrow, so he has to be Mekabel Tainis by Mincha. So does he at the end of Mincha, at the end of the Shemana Esrei, say Harenim B'Tainus L'Mocha? What if he doesn't say? What if he's Goma Beliba? He makes up his mind. So Rabbi Natam says that it's binding. The Rosh quotes Rabbi Natam in Tainus. Why is it binding? So the three different explanations are given by the Rishayim. So one explanation is that Nedarim don't need Amira, only Shavuos need Amira. Nefesh Kisushava Levat B'Sosayim, and Neder never needs Amira. So you have to explain, so what do you need a Chiddush of Yodis Nedarim for? So the Rishayim talk about it. And others give a different explanation. They say no, that Neder Tainus is like a carbon. The Gemara says that one of the Amarayim, the Gemara says in Broches, in the end of the second paragraph, one of the Amoraim used to offer a tefillah at the end of the Shemana Esrei, after he would fast, that mir chel bevidomi, I lost a little weight today by fasting, should be accepted lufanecha, as if I had offered a korban, and as if I had been zorked a dam on the mizbeach, and as if I had burnt a chelab on the mizbeach. So I lost a little weight, so mir chel bevidomi should be accepted as if I brought a korban. So by karbonis, we know the din is that it's chal b'leiv, kol nadiv leiv hodas eviyu. So that's what the Rabbi Natan meant to say, that Nidrei Tainus are the same as Nidrei Korban, and Korban is Chalvalev. And then the third version of the Rabbi Natan was, no, all Nidrei Mitzvah, even Tzedakah. That's how we pass on Shulchan Aruch. If a person is Goma Belibo, it says both in Yoredei Hilchas Tzedakah and Chosha Mish, but also it says, the person was Goma Belibo, and he never said a word, he's Mukhif to pay the Tzedakah. Why? That's the third version of what the Rabbi Natan said, that all Nidrei Mitzvah, Chal Balev. And then Minik Toiv is binding with the Rabbanim. We treat a Minik Toiv as if it had been a mitzvah.
Yeah, but it was supposed to say that it happened before that it's only by Shvuah that it needs to be Tibor.
Right, that's one version of the Rabbi Natan. Only Shvuah needs Amira, and Neder, no Neder needs Amira. Even Nidrei Hoshuas don't need Amira. So that version of Rabbi Natan is going to have to answer, what do you need a Chiddush of Yoris Nedarim for? That an incomplete sentence is also binding. You don't even need the incomplete sentence. If it's Chal B'Machshava, so what do you even need the half a sentence for? But most don't accept that. The Trumas Hadeshin quotes that version of the Rabbi Natan. I don't sit and read Trumas Hadeshin, but Rabbi Chaim Moser I do read. So Rabbi Chaim Moser quotes the Trumas Hadeshin's version of the Rabbi Natan. The Rabbi Natan meant to say that all Nedarim are Chal B'Lev, only Shavuos need Amir. Then the other two versions are the more popular. The Rabbi Natan only said it by Tainus, because Tainus is mamish like a korban. Nietchel bevedami should be considered like a korban. And the most popular version of Rabbi Natan is that he said, by all nidrei mitzvah. By all nidrei mitzvah is the same as Hegdush, so you don't need Amira.
Okay. What's the
Usually the difference between a neder and a shvu is that the neder is an isa chefs and the shvu is an isa gavra. So shvu you can have bikum v'yaseh, but on the gavra, I take a shvu, I will do, I will not do. Neder you can never have bikum v'yaseh, but nidrei mitzvah rob is bikum v'yaseh. So that's a good question. What's the difference between a nidrei mitzvah and a shvu? That's a very good question. I don't know.
Would one neder mitzvah be on the chat, like karbanos? Is that then?
The Ramban HaChumash, on the beginning of Parshas Matos, asks a question, if a neder is an Issa Chefza, and we know that there's a neder and a nedov, and nedov is harizu, the Mishnah says, ma be neder le nedov, and nedov is harizu oilo, and neder is hari alai oilo. So he asks, how can you say hari alai oilo? If neder is an Issa Chefza, you can never have a neder bikum b'yasei. So how do you have Harei Alai Lahavi Oilo? How is it possible? Ramban gives two answers on Chumash. One answer he gives is that whenever you say Harei Alai Oilo, ultimately you're going to have to designate which animal is the oil. You're going to say Harei Zu. So when you said Harei Alai last week, that was the Haschol of the Harei Zu. It's going to end up to be a Harei Zu. So it is going to be an Issa Chefza. It is going to be. That's one answer that he gives. Then he gives another answer, another suggestion. The Ramban HaChumash, Rabbi Kiveger on Gilyan HaShas on the Dorm also refers you to this Ramban. Beginning of Parshas, there's a misprint in Rabbi Kiveger. I think it says Parshas Chukah, supposed to be Parshas Matos. So the Ramban gives another answer. How can you have Nidrei Hegdush Harei Alai if a Neder is supposed to be an Issa Chefza? How can you ever have a Neder Bikum V'Yasir? He gives another answer. That Amirasa la Gavai Kim Sirasa la Hed Yedami. When he says Harei Alai la Havi Oilo and Nishtabdu Nechasov, that's like Chala Nechevze. It's not Chala in Isra, Hano Nechevze, But Amiras Alagala makes a shibur on the nechasim. So it's not really a neder mitzvah. It's not binding mitam neder. Neder has to be nisachepta. But binding mitam Amiras Alagavoy. It's a shibur. Shibur mamayni. Because there are two shitas in the Ramban. How do you understand? Yeah. There are different types of chiyuve mamen. We spoke about mamen and knas and kapara. We learned the big tesis on chavtes on the base. The differences between mamen and knas, differences between kapara as opposed to the other two. But even within mamen, there are different categories of mamen. So you have in this parasha by Shvi, you have a pasuk b'yom atitn schora l'sof ol av hashemesh ki yanehu, etc., etc. So that din, b'yom atitn schora, is only a din in schiras poilim. It doesn't apply, let's say, I buy some merchandise, I have to pay on the same day. There is no such din. You have shloshim yom to pay. It's understood you have shloshim yom to pay, unless it's specified otherwise. But in schiras poilim, it's a special din, b'yom atitn schora l'sof ol av hashemesh. Special din is chiras poilim. Another din is chiras poilim. Tosis quotes in different mesichtas. Rabbi Natan Hoyeraga Lima Gimel Dinim Heim. That chiras poilim. Let's say a guy worked for me a whole day, and I owe him money. So then at the end of the day, I owe him $100. He was painting my house. I say, I have no money. I have a lot of svarim in the house. So take $100 worth of svarim and it's yours. So Rabbi Natan says he shows from the Gemara the end of Bab Metzia. He can say, I don't want your $100 of swarm. You go, zil zvin v'aisi zuzi. You go sell a swarm. I want cash. I want you to give me cash. He can insist that he wants dafke cash. Special din in schiris poilim. The yom atit and schar is only by schiris poilim. You have to pay on the same day. And the Rabbi Natan shows from the Gemara in the end of Bar Mitzia that schiris poilim, if the poil insists, he can insist that he wants dafke cash. Then the Rabbi Natan has the other dinim by halvor. Let's say if I lent you $100, so the Rabbi Natan says, if you have, let's say it comes the end of the month, he's supposed to pay back the money. So if you have cash, since zuzi yoyb, zuzi shokol, whatever I lent you, you mechuyif to pay me back the same type of a thing. So if I lent you cash, you mechuyif to pay back cash. If you don't have any cash, then the Gemara says, memori rashvasa pari efra. If the guy owes you money, so if he doesn't have cash, you have to accept whatever he happens to have. But if he has cash, I can force him to pay me the cash, because zuzi yoyb zuzi shokom. But what if it's a mazik, or a mamazik, on this kebehemto? So then the Gemara says, I can pay me the karka or metalkalim, whatever I want. If I pay karka, by nizikin, it has to be metav. If I pay metalkalim, the Gemara says, call me the metav. All metalkalim is considered metav, because ilay mizdab menachem, mizdab mit b'masach rita. If it doesn't sell here, so I can always bring it to a different city and it'll sell well, very well in the other city. So by Orem HaMazika, by Niske Behemto, you have an option. You can either pay cash, or even if you have cash, you can choose to pay with any metaltalim, even junk. You can give them rigs. If the rigs are, you owe them $100, I give them $100 worth of rigs. L'chatchima. Even though I have a check, even though I have cash, I'm not mechuyif to give. I can give. If I want to give a karka, I can give $100 worth of karka. It has to be made of. So that's what the Rabbi Nitzim Hayaragalam, a gimel dinim hay. By the Zikin, there's no kesef or meitav. You can give whatever you want. And by a halvor, if he lent them cash, zuzi yoyb, zuzi shokel, unless he doesn't have, the loyber doesn't have cash. It's, I lent you 100 barrels of wine, so Meikar Adin Lechavaz Das writes, you have to pay me back 100 barrels of wine. And if he pays back money, that's bimkoin. But the Ikechi really is to pay back 100 barrels of wine. The Rabbanon, they prohibited it. That's called saw b'saw. Because the 100 barrels of wine that I lend you may be worth $100. Then by the time you'll pay me back, 100 barrels, a different 100 barrels of wine may be worth $105. So that's ribis the Rabbanon. And I'll tell you, it's not ribis, but the Rabbanon, it's us. And the third din is the schiris poilim. So it says, in Kiddushin has a chiddush. Once you have the pasuk, that schiris poilim has separate dinim. A love who knows says not show, you have to pay biomatit and schar, you have to dafke pay cash. If the fellow insists, you have to pay dafke cash. So the Tosis interprets in the Gemara that Shibuda the Rabnosin doesn't apply. If I owe you money and you owe him money, so I have to pay him directly. What happens if I owe you money and times three is spoiling? So also, I pay him directly. So Tosis in Kiddushan learns not that in three is spoiling, Shibuda the Rabnosin doesn't work. They interpret the Gemara like that. Special din, maschivas poelim, doesn't apply, and they learn that ha'anoke by an eved ivri, it goes free, is a form of schiris poelim, so also he wouldn't apply yeshibuta the Rav Nosson to that case. And then the Torah has a pasuk liyimso avos abonim bebonim liyimso avolo al avos ish becheto yumosu. So the Gemara says the pshuto shal mikri is you don't punish the parents because of the sins of the children, you don't punish the children because of the sins of the parents. So what do you need the whole half of the pasuk, the whole first half of the pasuk? Let it just say ish becheto yumosu, and I'll understand. So the Torah Shabbat Pes says that the first half of the pasuk means something else. Liyimso avos be'edus bonim liyimso bonim be'edus avos that krovim apsulim le'edus, that a korb, this is the only mokum, that a korb is pasul lahoy, not lechoyva, not leschus. Pasuk only goes liyimso if my relative testifies that I'm chayiv misa. Then the Gemara says, how do you know even in mamonis? So you have a hekesh between mamonis and the foshes, even in mamonis krovim and apsulim krovim, everybody's related. I'm sure if we'll scratch a little behind the surface, we'll tell me that we're fifth cousins or something, unless you're a ger. I was once sitting at a conference of Rabbanim, so one guy tells me his name is whatever Goodman, some unusual name. So I say, oh, are you related to? I didn't finish the sentence. The guy barks, no! How do you know? No? The guy's from London. He said, no! So, then they told me he's a ger. He's not related to anybody. He's not related to anybody. He's a very sharp guy. He does hashgacha work for the OU. A character. So there's a din that Kravim Atsul, and the question of how far Kravim? Everybody's related to everybody else, except for a ger is not related. So the Gemara has Klalim. The Gemara has Klalim, how far you go. The Klalim are not so complicated. Brothers are considered Rishon Berishon. When they have children, the first cousins are called Sheni B'Sheni. So that's as far as it goes. Sheni B'Sheni. Sheni b'shlishi, a first cousin once removed, or second cousins, shlishi b'shlishi, are kosher leidus. Revi b'revi is third cousins, are for sure kosher leidus. There's a chumra, mitam minig, that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, that the edi kiddushin, or the edi haget, should even be revi b'revi with two balki ishtos. Means if two girls are third cousins, two brothers are rishon b'rishon, first cousin, next generation is sheni b'sheni, next generation is Shlishi B'Shlishi, that's second cousin. Next generation is Revi B'Revi, is third cousins. So Revi B'Revi, if they're two girls and they're both married, so that's a chumra. Even Revi B'Revi, with two Balki Yishto, you shouldn't use them as Eidim for the Kiddushin or Eidim for the Get. I was just at a wedding, and they called up one of the Eidim Kiddushin. It was a rabbi with a beard. He gives a shir and a yeshiva. He said, Nile of yeshiva or something. It didn't occur to me to ask whether he's related to the Chasen Kai. I thought for sure he's not related. So they told me afterwards in the middle of the meal that he's at this second cousin. So lahatchila, he's not supposed to serve as an eight. But the Ebed, it's kosher. But that's the chumra lahatchila, even revi bervi, the two balki yishta. So let's say if you have two sisters who are both married, so two sisters are called rishon merishon. So if they're both married, you say balki yishta twice, on the level of Rishon B'Sheni. If you have two girls who are first cousins and they're both married, so you don't say Balki Yishta twice on the level of Sheni B'Sheni. And Rishon B'Sheni, if you have an aunt and a niece and they're both married, that's a machlekes, the Balamor and the Ramban in 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, where they say Balki Yishta twice, where they say Balki Yishta twice by Rishon B'Sheni. But Sheni B'Sheni, the Gemara says you don't say. If you have two girls who are first cousins and they're both married, you don't say Balki Yishta twice on Sheni B'Sheni. And even on the level of Rishon B'Rishon, if you have two girls who are both married, that's Balki Yishta twice on the level of Rishon B'Rishon. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban and the Melchames in Sanhedrin that that's only Midirabbanan. They say Balki Yishta twice is only Midirabbanan, because in the Chumash you only know Balki Yishta once, you don't know twice. So it's important to know. The Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, Hoshe Mishpat quotes the Melchames in Sanhedrin that Balki Yishta twice is never deraisa. Never the rice, even on the level of Rishon B'Rishon with it. It says Beferi Giso. Giso is not the same as Giso is a brother-in-law with two marriages. My wife's sister's husband, that's called Gisi. My wife's brother is not called Gisi. Gis is a Balki Yishta twice on the level of Rishon B'Rishon. That brother-in-law, he's called a Gis. So that the Ramban, the Ramo quotes the Ramban, that's only a Psul de Rabban. it's important to know the dinim in Hilchas Kiddushin, whether you need a get, you don't need a get. A lot of halacha is based on this. I remember we had a student in yeshiva years ago. He was a practicing rabbi in London, and he decided to come here to get smicha. So we were learning Sanhedrin in the Kollel. He was surprised to hear that brothers-in-law postulated. He never heard that. He said he used to be Masada Kiddushin in London, and he and his brother-in-law used to be the Adam, and now he knows that it's not acceptable. Okay? Gotta know the dinim. Gotta know the dinim. So that's how the Gemara interprets this pasuk. The Torah Shabbat Pentecost. Yimsa Ovis Albanim. Ubanim. Yimsa Ovis means Yimsa Ovis Be'edis Banim. Ubanim Layimsu Be'edis Ovis. This is the mocker for the din that Kravim Apsulim La'edis. Then you have the parsha that we spoke about a lot. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, and much of the Sefer HaMitzvahs is an attack against the Sefer HaLochas Gedolot, which was written during the period of the Gaonim, and they're not sure exactly who wrote the Sefer HaLochas Gedolot. And the Bahag has a list of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, so the HaLochas Gedolot counts. Every person who's Chai Misa is another mitzvah sesser. It's a mitzvah to give skila to the Mechal Shabbat, mitzvah to give skila to the Benayra HaMarosa, Shazinsa, mitzvah to give Sreifa to the Baskan Shazinsa, mitzvah to give Chenek to the Eshesi Shazinsa, mitzvah to give Skila to the Oibir Abadizara. Every single time there's a Chiyav Misa, he counts it as another mitzvah. So the Rambam makes fun of him and he says, why didn't he count all the Chavi Malkas as a separate mitzvah essay? The Rambam says there are 207, he says, Gematria Zar, 207 Averis which you get Malkas, so you should count it as 207 mitzvahs. You're going to have more than 248 mitzvahs essay. They're only Ramach mitzvahs essay. So just like the Bahag only counted as one mitzvah to give Malkus to whoever deserves Malkus, he should have counted only as one mitzvah. So the Rambam says it should count as four mitzvahs. To give skila to whoever deserves skila, to give Sreifa to whoever deserves Sreifa. Skila Sreifa Hergechenek are four mitzvahs. The Ramban thinks the Rambam is such a convincing argument, he should only count it as one mitzvah, so I say. Be'at Aram Mikibach, one mitzvah to give Misa to all the Harugi Bezim. Just like there's one mitzvah to give Malkus to all the people that deserve Malkus, so there's one mitzvah to give Misa to all the people who deserve Misa. But the Ramban, the Ramban thinks the Rambam is more right than he himself thought. He thinks that it should only be counted as one mitzvah, but he comes to defend the Halachas Gedolot. He says the Bahag didn't make a mistake. Bahag, a lot of times the Ramban defends the Bahag, but he himself doesn't agree with the Bahag. A lot of times the Ramban and the Mechamas defends the Rif from the kashas of the Balamor. He himself agrees with the Balamor. But he thought that it was disrespectful the way the Balamor wrote and the way the Rambam wrote. So he comes to defend the cover of the Halachas Gedolot, or the cover of the Rif, even though he thinks La Halacha like the Rambam. So here, the Ramban writes to defend the Halachas Gedolot. He says, in Malkus there's one klal. Whoever does an Avera similar to Losachim Sharbedisha, because the psukim are one next to the other, says v'hitzukas sasarik v'shiras harasha b'ha'yo and din hakoyis harasha v'hipil ha'shofet, you give malchus. Avon yakena. Then it says Losachim Sharbedisha, pasuk dalit. Malchus is psukim ala beis gimel in chapter chafei. Pasuk dalit is Losachim Sharbedisha. And chumish dvarim v'darshin smuchim, one pasuk next to the other. So all the Tanaim say you only get Malkus if you violate an Avera, which is similar to Losachim Shabbatisha. So it's one klal. There's one klal. All the people that get Malkus counted as one mitzvah. Whoever does an Avera, that's similar to Losachim Shabbatisha. In Misa, there is no klal. Each Misa is a separate Chi Misa. He says, I understand the Halachas Gedolot. He doesn't agree with him, but he understands the Halachas Gedolot. The Bahag holds that every Chiyav Misa is a separate Chiyav Misa. There is no Tzara Shava between all of them. But in Malkus, there's one klal. Whoever does an Aver is similar to the Sachs Shabbadishai, gets Malkus. Then the very next parsha after the Sachs Shabbadishai is the mitzvah of the Yibum V'Halitza. If a man dies, a man is married, he dies, he leaves no descendants, no children, no grandchildren, Bein Ein Lo, Ayin Olam. So then the mitzvah is preferable is to do Yibum. Mitzvah Yibum Kodemus, the mitzvah is Chalitza, that's a Mishnah and Chorvis, the end of the first Perek. And if they don't agree to do Yibum, then you have Chalitza. So the pasuk says, "V'hoya b'chor she'teilah yokam moshem machav hameiz v'lo imach shema miYisrael." So the pasuk pshat is that the first baby that's born after they perform yibum should be named after the man who died. So the Gemara says, "In kol atarukula ein amikah yotze midei pshuto." Shuto shal mikra is always binding, is always the din. And in addition to the shuto shal mikra, the Torah Shabbat Peh has what to add, an additional level of interpretation. This pasuk, the shuto shal mikra, is not emes. You don't at all name the first baby after the one who died. Each phrase in the pasuk is an allusion to a different. Haya pchor is mitzvah begod liyabim. Asher teilit prat la'aymuz. Yokam ha-shemach ha-mameis means that a yarshin, the one who does yibam yarshin. And the pshuto shal mikra is not correct. So that's what the Gemara says. Kol ha-mikra kula, the Gemara says in Yevamos, in the second parak. Kol ha-mikra kula, all of Chumash. And ha-mikra etzmide. Pshuto chutz mi-mikra hazeh, except for this pasuk, that the pshuto shal mikra is not binding at all. It's not correct. The only thing that's binding here is all the drushes of the Torah Shabbat. What's the story with chalitza? Chalitza is only a matir. If she wants to remarry, she needs chalitza, or should we assume chalitza is a mitzvah also? So Tosis points out, in the end of Maseches Nida, Tosis points out that chalitza, you have to assume chalitza is a mitzvah, not merely a matir, because there's certain parts of chalitza that are just done l'chatchil, and they're not miyake b'riyevet. You have the rekika, the different opinions in the Tanaim, so he paskin, the kriyas ha-psukim is not miyakev, and the rekika is not miyakev. The only part that's miyakev is the chalitza sasandol. So Tosis has a cloud that it doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila deraisa if you're just dealing with a matir. If you're dealing with a mitzvah, so you have a mitzvah b'shlei musa, you do it like this. And if you're missing a little bit, you did a mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa, and you get a smaller piece of labiyosin, you get less elam haba. If you do the mitzvah b'shlei musa, you get a bigger piece of elam yosin, and get more elam haba. So from the fact that by chalitza you have the kriyas ha-psukim is not me'akev, and the rekika is not me'akev, so it's a dead giveaway that it's a mitzvah, it's not just a matir. But there's still a machlokes in Ebenezer, is the mitzvah only if the yavam is interested in remarrying, or even if she's 95 years old, she's not looking for another shidduch now, she's not interested in remarrying. So that's a big machlokes. Some achrayim hold that it's a mitzvah to perform chalitza even if she's not interested in remarrying. Rabbi Zalcharech was a great Charif, a great Goyen. So he has the Tshuva Sefer, Emek Yoshua, has a few, So the first Tshuva is about this. He thinks that the mitzvah to perform chalitza is even if she's not interested in remarrying. But Harayi from that Tosis in the end of Nida, the Tosis proves that chalitza is a mitzvah. The other Rachamim also know that chalitza is a mitzvah. They hold that it's only a mitzvah if she's interested in remarrying. She's not interested, it's not a mitzvah. So it's not really. His proof, he was a Charif, Rabbi Zal Charif, he was a rabbi in Slonim, otherwise known as Rabbi Zal Slonima. So it's an important Maram Akam, but it doesn't really prove it conclusively. I know a fellow in the New York area who was adopted by his parents. His parents had never had children, and then the adoptive father passed away, and the mother needed chalitza. The adoptive mother wasn't interested in remarrying. She was an elderly woman, so his brother was pressuring him, don't give the mother a hard time, don't hakrachan. More correct is, you should have done chalitz. If you adopt children, they're not your children. So adopted children still need chalitz. Or sometimes a woman has artificial insemination from someone else. So she had a baby, but it's not the child from the husband. So the almona has to know that if she wants to remarry, she needs chalitza. She had a baby, but it wasn't from the husband. So in such a case, a baby ain't like the husband never had any children.
Isn't that a question to me whether John Mangold, with artificial insemination, the father is considered?
No, but if he wasn't the donor, someone else was the donor. It wasn't from the husband. So in that case, for sure, she would, if she wants to remarry, for sure she would need chalitza. What if she's not interested in remarrying? So that's a machlekes achrayim, whether you still need chalitza. Many achrayim hold that you still need chalitza. Parsha ends with the din of Amalek, mechiyas Amalek, and there's a striking pasuk: Tibchezech Amalek mitachas hashamayim. So they quote from Rav Kook. I don't know if this is from Kabbalah, so probably he's quoting from people before him. Everything the Rav Kook said is he just said over things from the Tanya, from other Kabbalists from before him. They're probably in other sources. He made a comment, from the perspective of the Rebbe Shalom, kol ma David rachmona letava. But even Amalek, who wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, it was really the Torah. But from our perspective, mitachas hashamayim, from our perspective, it's evil, and you have to wipe them out. So there is a Gemara in Gittin, but the Gemara says that v'bnei bonav shel Haman lom de Torah b'bnei brak. The Gemara says that Haman's descendants were learning Torah in b'nei brak. So what is the Gemara trying to say? So the Pashu Pshat, the Gemara is trying to say that even though Haman, we assume Haman was Haman Hamaleki, and terrible, he's a personification of evil itself, and Timcha Zech Amalek, but it's really, there was really something good came out of it. And he had descendants who were learning Torah B'nai Brak. So the people told me that Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned this. He was learning with a group of boys in the summertime, and someone asked him, what would he say about the Nazis? So he thought that the Nazis were worse than him. He thought that nothing good cannot be. Nazis were the worst that we ever had in the history of the world. But it's interesting that in the newspapers now, the magazines, they write that there are converts from all over the world. The percentage of converts from Germans is higher than their percentage of the world population. There are Koreans who are converting, there are Japanese. People from all over the world are converting. The Germans, they're the children of the Nazis and the grandchildren. They're trying to figure out why did their parents and their grandparents hate the Jews. So they look into it and they fall in love with the Jewish religion and they convert. So there's a higher percentage of converts from Germany than their representation in the population. And the same happened at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. They have in the history book, Yavetz writes a lot about this. Yavetz wrote a history book. So he writes that there were so many Romans who converted. Also, they're trying to figure out why did their parents and their grandparents try to kill all the Jews. So they looked into the Jewish people and Jewish religion, and they fell in love with it. There were so many converts. That's what he says. He have in the Mishnayos, there were so many Gerim, Ben Bagbag and Ben Heihei and others. There were so many Gerim there. It's a higher percentage than it should have been. And they included Al Tzadikim Al Chassidim Al Geri Al Tzadik Al Leina. They mentioned the Gerim and the Bruch. Must have been a big percentage of Gerim at that time. So he says also because of this, because their ancestors had killed so many Jews, so the descendants wanted to know what was going on. Yeah, so we see that even by the Nazis, it's Takemi Tachas Hashamai Velomi Al Hashamai. From the perspective of the Rebbe Shlomo Zalman, Kol Ma David Rachmanu L'Tava. We have a din, we have to wipe it Amalek. I remember when I was a little boy, I was learning in the. I was staying with my grandparents in New York. My family lived in Philadelphia. And I was always complaining about my grandmother's cooking. Didn't like the way I always made fun of her, the way she spoke Yiddish. She was a Galician, so I used to make fun of her. So my father always had to come and take me home every couple of weeks. So I remember once my father was going to take me home for a Shabbos. Going to take me home on a Thursday night, but Rav Soloveitchik was speaking that Thursday night. He didn't want to miss the drasha, and if he would pick me up after the drasha, so there wouldn't be any Greyhound buses, wouldn't be able to make it back to Philadelphia. So as a little child, must have been 9, 10 years old, I don't know, so he took me to hear Rav Soloveitchik's drasha, and then we got the bus. We took the last bus to Philadelphia. So that time Rav Soloveitchik spoke for the Mizrahi, that's when the German government offered reparations money to Medina Yisrael. So there was a big debate in the Knesset whether it's proper or not to accept the reparation money. So Rav Soloveitchik thought it wasn't proper for two reasons. So one reason is what many of the members of the Knesset said. We shouldn't give the mistaken impression to the Germans that all will be forgiven for all of the people that they killed. It's immoral to take reparations money as if they're going to get in an atonement by giving the money for killing so many people. So he thought that wasn't proper. Then he thought Al Pidin, and he said a chiddush from his father, that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that any had a right from Aramim, any nation that adopts as a policy to wipe out the entire Jewish people takes on the status of Amalek. They don't necessarily have to be biological descendants of Amalek. Any nation who adopts that policy. The Rambam in the Mor Devuchim seems to say not so. The Rambam writes, why does the Torah give us the genealogy of Esav? Who cares? He says, no, it's important to know who Amalek is. Because only those who are biological descendants have the din of Amalek. So the Rambam in the Mor Devuchim seems to contradict it. But other Gedolim said that also. Other Gedolim during the war, they felt that the Nazis had a din of Amalek. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that they had a din of Amalek, and an Amalek, you're not allowed to, not only do you have to kill all the people, not allowed to take anything from Amalek, Mishorat, Hamor, Adseh, nothing, not even allowed to take back the money that they stole from you. Since they took the money, they were kind of with Kibish Muhammad. When you have a war, so the winning, the country who wins the war, acquires ownership, so they took all the money from the Jews. It wasn't just Gzela. They had full control. And then, if they want to offer to give it back, so he thought that you're not allowed to take it. As a din of Amalek, you're not allowed to take it. So years later, he backed out. That's what I was told. That's what I heard. And this he printed also. Part of this he printed in one of the drushes that he gave for the Mizrach. Then years later, they told me that he said, apparently the Israeli government used all the reparations money to pave the highways. And they really needed it. So he said, history has indicated that I was wrong, that since they needed it, some Estama means that it was right. But then years later, they had to rip up all the highways because he said they made everything wrong. They did everything wrong. So they had to repave all the highways that they, so all the German reparations money wasted because they paved the highways incorrect. So it's a question whether history has shown that Rabbi Soloveitchik was wrong or not. Rabbi Nochem Rabinowitz from Ali Adumim published a whole sefer about Hilchos Melchama. So he quotes what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. So he says he can't believe that he said it lahalach. He thinks that it was just al derech hadrash. I don't think so. I think he meant it al derech halacha. I don't think he meant it al derech hadrash. I don't know if you can. That the Germans should be.
No, that we buy German products nowadays.
I don't know. It's a good question. Now maybe Hamas is Amalek. Maybe some of the Arab nations are Amalek. Those who want to wipe out the Jewish people today are the Arabs.
Did Rav Soloveitchik assume the Russians were given like in the 60s or something? Yes. And did he assume that those Germans who were there were considered Nazis and some of the same nation?
I don't know. That's a good question. Why does he assume that they're the same? Don't know. That's a good question. Okay. Shabbat Shalom. Yes.
The Shir Shecha is 12 months. So did everybody say that during the year?